Amen. I also want to say thank you to all the mothers. Y'all are doing a great job. Y'all are doing an awesome job. So I just want to continue to encourage you that to keep up the good work. It's hard. I live with my wife and she has to put up with me. So I know I'm not the most perfect man. It's hard to admit. No, it's pretty easy actually. No, yeah. I know where I rate on this scale. I mean, we got Jesus and then you got to, you know. It's okay. It's all right. I'm okay with that. God's still working on me. It's okay. So, but I know that that you mothers do a great job. And even if you don't have actually one that's a physical birth, you're a mother in the faith as well. And there are younger kids looking up to you. So continue the good work and you will thoroughly be blessed. And sometimes you won't even know what you did until we reach heaven. You might not even know. But in heaven, you'll see the fruits of your labor. You'll see the awesome seeds that were planted and that have grown. And that you're like, wow, I did that just because I reached out to that person. And it will be a wonderful day to see what the Lord has done and use you in your whole walk with Him. Amen. So I do have a little story. And this is for you moms out there. There was a little boy, and we'll just call him Samuel, because I just like to use my son's name. It's okay. I'm a little biased. That's how it is. But we'll call him Samuel. So Samuel has been tucked in bed. He's got his drink of water. His mother has come in, rubbed his back, said prayers, and so he's in bed. So he yells out to his mom, "Mom! Mom!" She opens the door. She says, "What, Samuel?" He says, "I'm thirsty." And so, you know, I know no parent has ever heard this before, or any mother for that matter. And she's like, "Well, you just had a drink of water. It's time for you to bed. It's time for you to go to bed." He's like, "Fine." So she closes the door. 5 minutes later, "Mom! Mom!" The mother's getting a little bit like, "What's going on?" She's like, "Yes, Samuel?" She's like, "I'm thirsty. I need a drink of water. I'm really thirsty." And the mother's like, "Okay, now this is getting a little out of hand. He should be in bed. It's past his bedtime." It's like, "All right." So she says, "Samuel, you know, we already talked about this. You need to go to bed. It's really late, and if you say this again, I'm about to spank you." Because it's not your story. Not your story. But maybe, no, it's not your story. So mom closed the door. Then she hears it after 5 more minutes. "Mom! Mom!" Oh, she's mad now. She's like, "Oh, that's it. He's going to get a whooping." So she comes in the door. "What?" And so he says, "After you spank me, can you get me a glass of water?" I was like, "Oh, my goodness." I was like, "Oh, Jesus, help us." But, you know, I mean, kids are wonderful. And mothers are wonderful as well. And I was looking on the internet for some things, and I found this little article, "Things That Moms Would Never Say." And I was like, so I read a list, I was like, yep. I've said a few of these, but my wife has never said any of these. So I thought it'd be that I'd share these with you. So, things that moms would never say. All right, you ready? "How on earth can you see the TV sitting back so far away?" Or another mother said, "Yeah, I used to skip school a lot too." Never heard that one. Or this one's one of my favorites. "Just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery." Another one. "Let me smell that shirt." "Yeah, it's good for another week." I can say that might have been one of mine, but I'm just saying. All right, "Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed and walk him every day." I don't think a mother's ever said that one. "Well, if Carrie's mama says it's okay, that's good enough for me." Never heard that one. "The curfew is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here." You kids, you mothers with teenagers, good luck out there. Another thing. "I don't have a tissue with me, just use your sleeve." Moms always have tissues. I don't know where they get them from, but it's like Mary Poppins. They're like, oh, you want a tissue? Here you go. Amazing. And
on that one, you need to have the guys who have actually said that.
Oh. Yeah, that's true, Pastor Steve. Although this is one I've kind of said a few times. So don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. So that's something you'll never hear mothers say. What we're going to talk about today is the fulfillment of the promise or the calling that God has for us. And since it is Mother's Day, we're going to look at two biblical characters. We're going to look at Abraham and Sarah. So if you would turn your Bibles with me to Genesis 12:1, we're going to see what Abraham and Sarah had a promise and there was a calling on their lives, and we'll see the fulfillment of that. Now, I know that most of you know this whole story by heart. And you could even read it. You could even say it back to me verbatim, I'm sure. But we're going to look at a few things here that God showed me while he was talking to me about preaching today. And remember, as preachers, as people giving the word, we don't get up here just to teach or just to preach. Just want to make sure you know. It's not something that we say, oh, we have to do this. This is something from the Lord that we've gotten, that we've brooded over, that God has really put inside of us, and we want to give to you guys. Preaching over here, I mean, we could do without preaching, but if your hearts are not in the right place, then you can't receive the word that God has for you, and you're missing out. So I just want to make sure your hearts are open today, because whenever one of the pastors or teachers are up here preaching, they have something that God wants to show you today. And it is important. Trust me, it is important. And it can better help you in your walk of life. Maybe not just right now, but maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. So I just want to encourage you that preachers just don't get up here just to hear themselves or just to yell or just to shout or things like that. We really have something that God has that's deposited in us that He wants to share with you guys. So I would ask that you just keep your hearts open today. And on that note, let's just go ahead and pray. Well, Father, we thank you, Jesus, that our hearts are open. Lord, that, you know, we just come and we just want to be with you, Father. And you have some great words for us today. And God, we ask, God, that you would continue to do wonderful things in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, that we would be changed, Father, because if it doesn't change us, Father, then what good is it listening? So, Lord, we ask, God, that you would help change our hearts, Father, to be hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to turn our Bibles to Genesis 12, verse 1. All right. And I'm reading out of the NIV. It's on page 24 if you're in the NIV version Bible, so just making sure you know. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That is Abraham's promise. Woo, that sounds pretty good. I like that. I'll be blessed. And anybody who doesn't like me is going to be cursed. And so, you know, I'm feeling pretty good, I'm sure. I got to leave my father's household, though, but that's a great promise. So Abraham, this is him receiving the promise. It's the journey that starts out. And sometimes starting out on that journey is the hardest part because he does have to leave his father's household. So that can be a little tough. One of the illustrations I'm going to use today, because it is Mother's Day, I'm going to use a lot of Mother's Day illustrations, so be ready. All right, so this is kind of like a journey on promise. So the mother is sitting, so it's like this. So I know women don't like to read the newspaper. They like to see ads, or like to Facebook or TV and things like that. But when they see a pair of shoes on sale, 50% off, I don't know what woman can deny that one. That's a tough one. I'm just saying most women, not all. I'm not saying all. I'm just saying most of them. So, I mean, even though you got like 50 pairs of your shoes in your closet, but it's still, you still need this one. So a woman sees a pair of shoes. Yeah, there's the cat again. So a woman sees a pair of shoes on TV, and she's like, 50% off at, where do you go to buy shoes? I don't even know. Payless? Kmart? Okay. I hear a lot of men saying that. Where are the women's go to buy shoes is what I'm looking for. Kohl's and Target. Okay. Okay. All right. So they see this wonderful thing at Kohl's. And they're like, hey, I got a few bucks in Kohl's cash too. Let's go. So she's like, oh, this is great. It's 50% off. It's normally $400. It's only $200 a pair of shoes. Yes. Yes. I want this pair of shoes. So, so the woman says, "Oh, I gotta get this pair of shoes. It's wonderful. It's just what I'm looking for. It's gonna match my Easter dress. Yes, let's do it." So she gets into the car. She grabs her keys. Well, she grabs her keys first. Then gets into the car, puts them in the ignition, puts the car in drive, and goes to the mall. Sees the shoes. Yes, they're on sale. Yes, she has a coupon. Yes, she's got Kohl's cash. Yes, she has it in her hand. Mission successful. Promise, it's good. The TV promised that, and they delivered. So we're good on that. But what would have happened if the woman saw the ad on TV, got in the car, started up the engine, and kept the car in park? She's not going anywhere. She's not going to get those shoes that she really wants. She's not going to get them because she's not going anywhere. And sometimes when we have a promise that the Lord has given us, that we don't get started. And getting started is tough. Don't get me wrong. Getting started is tough. Like Abraham had to leave his whole people, had to leave his family to get started on this journey to receive the promise. Sometimes the hardest part is to get started. So we have to put the car in drive and go. All right. So we're going to go. Now, I just want to make sure you know that Abraham is 75 years old when he receives a promise. Who in here is over 75? Anybody? We got a few. So at 75, he receives his promise. And some of the, like, the young kids are like, wow, that's old. It's not. Come on. You're as young as you feel. That's right. Amen. So we're going to look at Abraham. So we see he receives a promise at the age 75. So we're going to turn our Bibles to Genesis 15 now, which is a few chapters later, also a few years. And it's going to be verse 1 is where I'm going to start. So Genesis 15, 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, he said to him, so shall be your offspring. And Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. So we see that God had told Abram a few years ago that he was going to be this great man, father of nations, and this whole big promise. Then after a few events happened, a few years later on, he's like, well, God, I mean, you're my shield and everything, which is wonderful, but I'm still without child. I don't have a son or anything like that. How is this going to happen? And then God says, you know what? I have a reminder here. I'm just reminding you that I am still in control, that you are on the right path. Trust me. And it's hard sometimes. We tend to let doubt come in those, you know, if for our lives. We haven't heard it for a while. Doubt seems to creep in. And so I'm sure Abraham had some doubt there because he's like, well, it hasn't happened yet. I've been through all these things. And it's like, all right, well, okay, God, sometimes we need a reminder. And so a husband tells a wife to be ready. Are you ready for this? A husband tells a wife to be ready. I'm coming to get you after work and we're going on a date. How many wives like to hear that? Yeah. Going out to somewhere nice, Olive Garden, or, you know, or Texas Roadhouse, or, you know, or Golden Corral Buffet. It was really good. I ate there yesterday. So good. Anyways, I will say that. But, I mean, So he says, be ready after work. I'm coming home. Get ready. We're going out on a nice date. So, you know, the wife's there, and she's like, all right, I'm ready. You know, 12 o'clock comes around. She's like, well, I don't know what I should wear. I'm just kind of thinking about things. And 2 o'clock comes around. She starts texting him, be like, what should I wear? You know, a few minutes go by. 30 minutes goes by, he replies. So she's like, well, what time should we meet? No reply again. She's starting to get a little worried now. She's like, is he even listening to me? So she calls the office. So the office, he's in a meeting. Oh, no. So she can't get in touch with him. So she waits until about 5 o'clock. Now, he usually gets off about 5:30. So she's like, what in the world's going on? She's starting to doubt that this date is going to happen at this time. She's like, that only gives me 30 minutes. How's he going to get home in time? How is it? I'm trying to call him on his cell phone. He's not picking up. Where is he? Should I get ready now? I know it takes me 55 minutes to get ready, you know, or, you know, it's like, oh, should I be ready now? I don't. So she's kind of in this valley of indecision and doubt. And so then it turns out to be 6 o'clock. He's usually home at 5:30. He forgot. I knew it. He forgot. That's it. That darn husband of mine, he forgot. Again. So all these doubts are coming out. Oh, he's a no good, filthy liar. Oh, all these types of things come out. And so she's like, ah, can't believe I fell for this. And so after this, 6:45 shows up. She ends up getting a call from her husband. Husband says, hey, honey, I told you I had that late meeting tonight at 7 o'clock, and I'm sorry that it was going to happen, but I'll be home at 7:30, and we're going on a date. Yay! So all that doubting, all that things that happened, she's like, oh, yeah, I should have never doubted. He was going to be at the meeting. I totally forgot that he was going to be at that late meeting and that he'd be home right after work, and we can go on that date. Is it true about how we do things like that? Don't we tend to doubt God when we haven't heard about anything for a while? It's like, well, God, you promised this, but I haven't seen it. I just haven't seen it at all. And I just don't see when you're going to do this in my life or what you promised me. Then doubt can creep in. But we have to remind ourselves that God is faithful and true, that he's not going to leave us, nor he's going to forsake us, and he's going to see that good work completed in us. So don't give in to that doubt, even though it might look not like your timing, especially because we always want to do things in our timing, don't we? Oh, man. Like, God, we do things this one, this one, this one, this one, right on time. Perfect. But he doesn't always do things on our timing. He wants to do things at his timing because his timing has a perfect plan attached to it. And it's for our greater good. So God is faithful and we must trust him. So let's turn into, read Genesis 16, one chapter over. Now we're going to see something that takes place. Now, Abraham at this time now is 86 years old. So that is 11 years past the time that he received that promise. So we're going to read in verse 1 and 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. She said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarah said. Now, one thing we have to be so very careful is we try to make things happen. This is actually called manipulation of the promise. We're like, well, God, it hasn't happened yet. I guess you need a little help. And this is what happens. I mean, it's true, you know? We're like, oh, we can't stop and wait. We just got to make it happen, you know. God promised me this and this and this. And so we've got to make it happen. No, that turns into manipulation of the promise. And what comes out of that is nothing good. Nothing good. It comes more problems, more heartache. And just to give you an example, I'm not using the women for this because I'm going to use the men for this. So you're okay, women. You're off the top. You're off the block here. So I will use myself for this so you can enjoy this. So if I received a calling to be a pastor, I have not. Just letting you know, this is just so hypothetical situation. That's what I'm looking for. There it is. So hypothetical situation. I'm called to be a pastor, which I'm not. So, and I was like, yes, I got this call Sunday morning. Yes, So I'm going to go right over to Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, the Lord said I have a calling to be a pastor. So get out of my office. What do you think would be going? I can tell you what would be going through Pastor Steve's mind. He's like, what demon got into you? But it's true. I received the call from the Lord. But this is a manipulation. This is saying that I need it now and on my terms. That's not what God says when he gives you the call of the promise. It's on his terms that he's going to bring you into this. Now, there is a difference between manipulation and preparation. Preparation would be, well, let's just go, manipulation is coming up, saying, this is what I demand, out of my office now, all the elders and deacons, I'm the pastor now. That's it. That's the bottom line. You're done. So, that's manipulation. What preparation would be this? I would go to Pastor Steve. I'd say, Pastor Steve, would you pray for me? This is a calling that I feel like God has put on my life. And would you pray with me over this? And is there anything that you can help me in becoming this down the road? Is there something I can do to serve the church? Is there something I can do to you helpfully? Is there a ministry I can help out in? And Pastor Steve might say, hey, why don't you go clean some toilets? You laugh, but let me tell you, sometimes that's what it has to happen. Sometimes in our hearts we get so prideful because the calling sounds so wonderful. And it's true. It is a wonderful calling. But we have to really be humble about these callings. We have to really say, you know, put it in the limelight. Because if we get so prideful and so arrogant in these callings, then we're going to miss it. And if we do get into that place of leadership, then it's going to be heartache for us. And there's nothing worse than having insecure leaders lead other people. Just letting you know that. Nothing worse than that. So preparation would be me going to Pastor Steve saying, you know what, I want to help out. I want to do what I can do. How are some ways that I can cultivate this? He might give me some good books to read. He might say, you know, work with Pastor Adam with the youth for a while. Work with Tina and the kids, you know, so that I can get my hands wet and seeing how the things are operating. That's preparation. That's something that is a godly way of looking at things. Manipulation is not. So, let's read Genesis 17. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 17. And we're going to read verse 1. Now, Abraham is 99 years old. It's like, come on, God, are you serious? I got this when I was 75. I'm 99. How many of you are 99? Nobody. Oh, no. Pastor Kurt, put your hand down. You are not 99. Although your kids might make you feel that way sometimes, you're not. No, you have wonderful kids. Anyways, so he gets this at 99. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, and I will confirm my covenant between you and your great and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful, and I will make nations of you. The kings will come from you. And he talks about establishing his covenant, his covenant to him. And it's like, okay, I'm still waiting, though. I mean, think about this. I mean, God comes, he tells you all these wonderful things. I mean, the process of this, and it happens in our lives. It does. It happens today. And it's like, God, would you hurry up already? Come on, how long do I have to wait for this? I mean, yes, you've reminded me. Yes, I'm clearing all my doubt. But Lord, I mean, it's like, come on. Are you serious? And later on in the chapter, we see that When Abraham gets talking to the angels, and the angels start talking, and they say that, you know, you're going to have a baby by next year, it says later in the chapter. And Sarah laughs. She's like, that's so funny. I've been waiting since Abraham was 75 to 99, and then all of a sudden next year I'm going to have a baby. And she's quite old at this time too. And so there are things that God does in our timetable that we don't quite understand. It's like, well, why did you wait all this time, God, before you started doing this? So
Sarah laughs at it because it's like, really, God? I mean, this is getting kind of ridiculous in a sense. And I could see her because she's been waiting 24 years for this to happen. And Abraham's been waiting 24 years for this to happen. And she's like, man, this must be ridiculous. But how do you know that his timetable is not our timetable? And when he wants to move, boom, 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 things happen. Like when God called me and my wife out of Mountaintop to move us down here, we put our house on the market. The next day we got five visitors. And then the day after that, we got two offers. Yeah, it sold like the first day on the market almost. So, you know, if God's ready to move you and ready to do something in your life, he's like, you better get ready because we're moving. And that's how it is. So Sarah is kind of like, he's like a year later, I don't believe it. Kind of like this. And I was trying to put an illustration of this one, and I found this one. It's like Sarah was like a mother who has a 16-year-old son. Now, I mean, I don't know how many. I mean, we have Franklin there. He's not. Yeah, you're 16, aren't you? Yeah. So 16. So we'll just use Franklin as an example because this is a good one. So Franklin's like, you know what, Mom? I love you so much. You've been doing such a great job. You've been working so hard. You know what I'm going to do? Tomorrow morning before you even get up, I'm going to weed the garden. I'm going to shampoo the couches. I'm going to vacuum the floors. And I'm going to make you breakfast. Now, I just want to say that Franklin's mother might laugh a little bit. She might be like, yeah, sure, yeah. But she goes to bed that night and wakes up 9 o'clock in the morning. Everything's already done, and there's breakfast on the table. Wow. It's not a true story. What? That's, well, you know, maybe it could be. Wink, wink, you know. But just saying that sometimes things happen and we think of God, we're like, yeah, right, like that'll never happen. You know, but it really is. It's going to, and it's his timing. So we have to be ready for whenever his timing is, because God likes to move things very quickly sometimes. It'll take a slow process sometimes in some of the other things to get some of the things out of our lives or to get us to a place where we can really dive in or where we can be very successful in the calling, in the promise that we have received. Because if we shortchange that on that foundation, then we can be in trouble later on. You know, if you want to go to the moon on Earth, you have to build a concrete pad about a mile deep for that rocket to actually go up to build a firm enough base for that rocket to get enough propulsion to get into the atmosphere. A mile deep. That's a lot of stuff underneath that you would never see happen. Never see anything happen. But God does that because once that foundation is built and he has built his way, then you're to the moon and you're out of this world. And he has a great promise for each and every one of us. Now, Genesis 21. Let's turn right there in verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, and as he had said, the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, and at the very time God had promised him, Abraham gave him the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And so there is the promise fulfilled right there. They do have a son. And it's wonderful because then we see from that come all the nations of Israel, many, many generations. And we see the Christ come from that generation as well, from that bloodline. And God has great promises for us. But sometimes it's hard because just even taking the first step sometimes can be tough. Or there's things that can derail us or things that can distract us or doubt. We're like, well, God, I've been waiting for 3 or 4 years for this to happen and it hasn't. I mean, Abraham waited 25 years before he had a son, one son. So I just want everyone just to stay seated this time. And I want to let you guys know that God has a plan, a promise, and a calling for you. And maybe you know what it is, maybe you don't, or maybe you have forgotten. And right now, I just want us all to bow our heads and just close our eyes. And this is just a time between you and God. And I'm going to ask God that He would give you that promise, remind you of that calling, remind you of what His plan is for you, that we can fulfill it and we can live a fulfilled life. It takes 9 months for a baby to be born, but all the pain and hardships is worth it once the baby is held in the mother's hands. And sometimes it seems like it's been a long time since the promises have been realized, the calling has been fulfilled. And sometimes we just need a reminder. So Lord, right now, I just ask, Father, that you would remind us of the callings of the promises you have for us, O Lord. Lord, I ask if someone doesn't know that promise or somebody doesn't know that calling for their life, Lord, that you would even speak it to them right now as we're praying. Or Lord, that maybe there's been some doubts, there's been some derailment, I've made some choices that weren't the best and now it's no longer can't happen. Well, that's not true. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that it doesn't matter what we've done or said, that your promises and that your plans are eternal for us. And that as long as we are walking your path, it can still happen. Lord, I ask, God, that you help us with any doubts. If we've had this promise and we've just been holding on to it, Father, and it just doesn't seem to be coming true. Lord, I ask that you would help us, remind us. Remind us of how good you are, of how many things you've done for us already. And that you are continually with us, that your love never fails, and that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen.